Well, a welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here at the Madeleine for the offering of this Mass on this fourth Sunday of the Easter season. It is not only Sunday, not only having Sunday Mass, it is also, of course, Mother's Day. And so we have a blessing for all the moms here during the Mass. We have a second collection for an organization called Birthright that helps women in crisis pregnancies. That's taken up throughout the entire diocese this weekend. We also had the May crowning, so thank you to our children who brought in the flowers for us and now presented to the statue of Mary. And also after this Mass, over at St. Joseph's Convent around noon today, was going to be a blessing for the new Rose Garden that many of you have donated towards in honor of Sister Marie Pierre. I've been asked to do the blessing, so you're invited to come to that. And also, we have some of the youth of our parish are going to be confirmed at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Holy Family Cathedral by Bishop Slattery. So much for Sunday being a day of rest. So see what else we can pack into this 24-hour period. And now, before I go any further, allow me to conduct a little bit of parish business. You'll see in the bulletin today is the third quarter financial report from January, February, March. You'll see in there, kind of the bottom line is that our revenue was not as much as we expected, particularly from the Sunday collections. However, our expenses were less than what we had expected, and also because of some major gifts that have come in throughout the year and also in the quarter, that we are ahead by about $43,000. So, yay you. So, thank you for generosity. But some of those gifts are one-time gifts, so we can't always depend upon that. And so that's the quarterly report. My thanks to the Parish Finance Committee for helping to put this together. Please also know that in the coming weeks, you're going to hear more about a major capital campaign that's going on throughout the diocese. It's a multi-million dollar campaign. Don't worry, we're not being asked to raise all the money ourselves, just a portion of it. And so we'll be hearing more about that in the coming months. Another parish business item, as many of you know, Becky Grossman, our parish life coordinator, is retiring at the end of the month. She's been with us for 17 years. She's going to retire and move to be with family in Mississippi. So we have a special event for her later this month. I hope you take the opportunity to offer her your appreciation and thanks for her service to us. And also that in the last few days, we have interviewed 6 applicants for her position. So it's good to know that people are wanting the job. And all those applicants bring their own set of skills to that position. And unfortunately, only one can be hired. So that decision will be made shortly. So that's so much for the parish business for right now. I was out of town most of yesterday. I attended a graduation ceremony at the University of Oklahoma, and I survived the experience. As some of you know, I'm an Oklahoma State graduate, so it was all okay. And then afterwards, I got to go visit my brother Dan and my sister-in-law Linda. As many of you know, my sister-in-law was recently diagnosed with cancer, so got to visit, and she's had her port put in, hoping to begin chemotherapy in the near future. And my brother and I got to reminisce about some members of our family, especially Mom's family in South Carolina. Our mom had an uncle by marriage. His name was Ralph Hendricks. Ralph was a farmer in Greenville County. He also had a business that he repaired tractors and engines for other farmers. But one of his great passions, though, was raising hunting dogs to go out and to hunt at night for raccoons. So he would go out at not just a dog, but usually a pack of dogs, let them loose, and then go follow the sound of the dogs where they had run a raccoon up into the trees. And my brothers were old enough to go on a couple of these excursions. The little brother had to stay at home. I would have gotten lost in the dark. Now, Ralph, however, because he raised those dogs, he knows those dogs well enough, by this barking of one of the dogs, he knew which dog it was. Not just a dog, he knew it was that particular dog. And I also saw something similar to that. I was a little bit older, because we go visit about every summer. He had about 2 dozen dogs he raised in a kennel, about 75 yards from the house. And one time, those dogs were all barking at something. Don't know what it was. And Ralph stuck his head out the window of his home and yelled at them. And remember, this is South Carolina, so what he said was, "Dogs! Hush up, dogs!" Dogs is in D-A-W-G-S. You know, if you're from the South, you get it. So, and I tell you what, as if he had hit the mute button, those dogs fell silent. The dogs knew his voice. They heard his voice and they reacted, they obeyed. That closeness that he had with the animals that he loved so much. Jesus uses a similar image in today's gospel reading about the good shepherd. The shepherd knowing the sheep, knowing the voices of the sheep, knowing them each by name, and the sheep knowing the voice of the shepherd. Using that as an image of the intimate union that we are called to be in with him. That he knows our name, he knows our voice, and we are called to listen to his voice. A Catholic understanding of our humanity, of human anthropology, is that we are made in a way that we are, it's built into us to hear that voice. The voice of the Lord calling us, the voice of the risen Christ. And every time that we are reacting, longing for what is good, what is beautiful, what is true, what is right, what is just, we're reacting to that voice. Now, there are some who that do hear directly the voice of Jesus. We don't call them crazy, we call them mystics. St. Catherine of Siena is an example. And mystics are not just for times past. There are mystics among us today. I've met a couple of them. Listening to the voice of the Lord and reacting. And there are many ways in which we can listen to that voice. You know, Jesus also used that image of the shepherd of the sheep in that what he's called a sheepfold. What the shepherds would do at night if they couldn't herd the animals into the town to be safe at night, they would build a temporary kind of a corral or a structure out of wood or stone. It had one entrance, and the shepherds would lay down and sleep in the entrance to keep the sheep in and to keep the predators out. That staff that we hear about, and the Lord is my shepherd, the psalm response, that crooked staff that with the crook on it, that we bishops use that as the image of their authority, we call it a crozier, that's to guide the sheep. The rod is basically a club to protect the sheep from the predators. Jesus is that sheep gate there to speak to us to follow and to protect us and to guide us, to lead us. There are many ways which we can hear that voice of the Lord if we are attentive. And particularly in our time, a very busy, very noisy era that we live in. So perhaps something to guide us in our prayer and our life this week is, where is the Lord speaking to us? Just last Sunday we had that gospel reading for the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and maybe a thing for us to pray with hopefully last week was, how is the Lord walking with us? Every day, are we recognizing him in the breaking of the bread? Maybe now for this week, for us to listen to where the Good Shepherd is speaking to us. Speaking to us in many ways, certainly in prayer. In prayer, not only our presenting of our petitions for one another, our needs, yes, but remember, prayer is a two-way street. We listen. And if you take part in Eucharistic adoration, you know, a big part of it is that we just simply sit before the Lord receiving love. The love of the risen Christ in the Eucharist. Are we listening to that voice in prayer? Are we listening in the Scriptures? You know, say we hear Peter in the Acts of the Apostles today. He explains what has happened about Jesus and his resurrection. And he says, repent, be baptized, be saved. 3,000 in one day. That's a pretty good day's work. Jesus said he's going to be fishing for men. And well, he certainly is. Are we listening to how the shepherd, our Lord, speaks to us in the words of Scripture? Are we listening to that voice of the Lord as we come together for the offering of this Mass, our central act of worship, recognizing Jesus and the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the Eucharist and the presence of Christ among us as his body, the church? Are we listening to that? Now, this is a little bit of a side. You may have heard about this. And unfortunately, this is true. Tomorrow evening in Boston is scheduled an event that's sponsored by a organization that is part of Harvard University, an elite university, the Harvard Extension Club. They're hosting off-site from the campus an event in which they're having different groups come in to explain kind of pseudo-religious practices. One of those that's going to be presented as a reenactment by a group called the Satanic Temple is what is referred to as a black mass. It was dreamed up by Satanists of previous generations. They would steal a consecrated host from a Catholic church and then desecrate it as a mockery of Catholic worship. Now, the Satanic Temple people are saying, well, it's not going to be a consecrated host, so don't worry. But you know, now you wonder why we have a lock on the tabernacle? That's one of the reasons. Now, it's interesting, there's been numerous complaints, particularly from the Archdiocese of Boston, saying this is an insult. We don't care if it's a reenactment, we don't care if it's a consecrated host or not. This is insulting. It's a ridiculing of our belief. And we pray that this is not going to be carried out. But we'll see what happens. Because it's interesting. Could you imagine such a group hosting something in which they were going to have a group reenacting the burning of a Quran? Probably not. Or the desecration of a Torah scroll from a synagogue. I doubt that too. Because that would be seen as going against people's sensitivities. But what's happening, what may happen tomorrow, is being justified as an academic exercise, an educational exercise. And if it does happen, we will know how an elite university views our beliefs, our act of worship. Which would be quite tragic, because that is there's enough division already in our culture. We don't need any more. But it's a little bit of an aside, just so you know about that, and we can pray about that, particularly for tomorrow. But as we gather for the offering this Eucharist, are we attentive? Are we listening? Because, you know, about 70% of the Catholics in the United States do not regularly attend Sunday Mass. That's 70%, 7 out of 10. For various reasons. Some because the Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 job, for a lot of people, that's a thing of the past. They got to work the weekends to provide food for their families, to support them. If they could be here, they would. And when they're not working on the weekends, they are here. Other people, they're not here because they've had a bad experience. The institutional church, been burned by a parish, been burned by a priest. What a priest said or did or didn't say and do. The times that it has happened, if it's ever happened to you by a priest, especially by me, I offer my apologies. I pray for your forgiveness. That's why some people are not here. Others, because it's kind of an indifference. They're kind of drop in, drop out. And others are not here because they have listened to other voices. The thieves and robbers, as Jesus calls them, that they're now following those voices instead of the voice of the shepherd. And for whatever reason, it's tragic. Because the further that we separate ourselves from the voice of the shepherd, the more difficult it is for us to hear, to understand, and to respond. But you know, the door, as I like to say, is always open. Always open for us to come to pray together and to be together. So are we listening to the voice in the breaking of the bread? Are we listening to the voice in the wisdom of the church? We call the teaching authority of the church. Thousands of years of experience of how to live out our life as intentional disciples. We've got a group on Wednesday nights that just came into the church. They're meeting every now on Wednesdays to study the catechism, and anybody can come if they wish. So are we listening to that voice of the shepherd expressed in that way? Are we listening to the voice of the shepherd in the lived examples of the saints? That's one of the great perks of being Catholic. We have saints. Men and women and children, flesh and blood, who show Christ to us. They live and love as Christ did. You know, there's a reason that little Italian of 800 years ago, Francis of Assisi, why he's so popular. Why he's in all the bird baths. Little statues. There's a statue outside the front door of the rectory as well. So, you know, there's a reason for that, because he loved as Christ loved. He loved whom Christ loves. He lived as Christ lived. And 800 years later, we are still drawn to it. He also embraced people who were called lepers. They suffered from a horrible, disfiguring disease. Someone else who embraced lepers was the saint we honored yesterday in the church, St. Damien de Wuster, also known as St. Damien of Malachi. 19th century Belgian priest, missionary, winds up in Hawaii, volunteers to go to the leper colony of 800 men, women, and children who have been literally dumped on an isolated island and basically left to fend for themselves. He spends the next 13 years with them, ministering to their spiritual and physical needs. He says, if I can't cure them of their leprosy the way Jesus did, perhaps as a priest, Jesus can cure them of the leprosy of their souls so they can be admitted into heaven. If you know Damien's story, he also contracted leprosy and died of it. And we're attracted to that witness. We're attracted also to Blessed Teresa of Calcutta in our own time, someone who loves as Jesus loves, lives as Jesus lives. We're attracted to that witness. We hear the voice of the shepherd in that. And also another place with the voice of the shepherd we need to listen to, and where? The dinner table. Is the voice of the shepherd being spoken and listened to there? In the midst of your families, the family is the domestic church. This is also Good Shepherd Sunday. We take the time to pray, especially for vocations, particularly to the priesthood and the religious life in our church. And as I said on Holy Thursday, there are young men in this parish. If you're not listening, that the Lord may be calling you to the priesthood, you should be. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. My vocation began at the dinner table of my home. I realize that now, and I was not raised in a Catholic household. But I saw that vocation being lived out, being called to by my parents' vocation in marriage. Living day after day, the routines, the big things of life, that whole having to hold, love, honor, obey, in good times and in bad, sickness and health, till death do us part. I saw that being lived out faithfully in all the ups and downs of life. That was the beginning of my vocation. Are you going to be listening to the voice of the shepherd at the dinner table this week? Because the shepherd will be there calling us to recognize his voice, to follow him and him alone. Maybe something that we can pray with, particularly this week, that the Lord is with us, speaking to us in many ways, calling us to himself, calling us to holiness, calling us to new and eternal life in him.